Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Making the right marriage choice. Making right marriage choices. How many of you want to ensure you make a right marriage choice? How many of you want to make sure that even though you have made a marriage choice already, you still keep making right choices in your marriage? It's never too late to be right. It's never too late to be right. Life is built on choices. Write this down. Life is built on choices. The outcomes of our lives are built and dependent on the choices we make. We are who we are and where we are today because of the choices we made yesterday. We are who we are and we are where we are today because of the choices we made yesterday. I want to believe that you guys are writing down, Abi. If you have your notes, wave it at me. Let me see your notes. If your neighbor does not have notes, use bombastic side eye to look at them. Look at them as if their life has finished. That what kind of human being is this? No, look at them like that. Let them know. Look, bombastic, criminal, offensive side eye. Please don't look at them. We don't have notes. And you came to church. If your neighbor look at you one kind, look at them two kind. Amen. Maybe another time. Let me see again. I've said it over and over again. Don't come to church without writing materials. Don't come to church. The moment you take your pen and your notepad, God knows you are serious. And He would even speak to you more. God will speak to you more than He will speak to someone who has no notes. Because you are going to put it down, all right? The outcome of our lives are built and dependent on the choices that we make. I said we are where we are today. We are who we are today because of the choices we made yesterday. Today was created yesterday. Write that down. Bible speaking about God in Genesis chapter 1, it says, and the evening and the morning was the first day, and the evening and the morning was the second day, and the evening and the morning was the third day. So you see, God's day starts from the day before. Today was created yesterday. You are where you are today, the way you are in your life right now, because of the choices that you made yesterday, whether they were wise choices or they were foolish choices. You will be where you will be tomorrow, and you will be who you will be tomorrow by the choices you make today. And that's good news, that even though you may not like where you are today, you can, by the means of making right choices today, alter your tomorrow. Nobody can go to the past to change the past, but anybody can start today and design a new tomorrow. And so you can make up your mind today to make choices that will make your life better. Practically and critically, the choices of marriage hinges on our lives. No matter how terrible decisions you make, if you enter a wrong university, you know that pata pata kurubudu in the next 5 years, Abi, you will be out of this university. How many of you felt that your university was a curse? Like, what kind of university? If you enter a wrong university, you made a choice for a wrong university, you know that in a short while, you know, in the 5 years, there's a strike, maybe 6 years, you study a course like medicine, you know, maybe 7 years, you're done with this whole thing, and you will come out one day. If you study a course that is a wrong course, you know what a wrong course is? You know what a useless course is in Nigeria? The way to know a useless course in Nigeria is that when you ask them that, where am I going to walk? And they say you can walk anywhere. You see, when they tell you can walk anywhere in Nigeria, you already know that you are studying a useless course. You can walk anywhere. So an accountant is an accountant after studying accounting. A lawyer is a lawyer after studying law. A doctor is a doctor after studying medicine. But there are some courses we cannot really say who they are. That what are they? Who are we? But no matter how terrible your course or wrong your choice of a course is, you know that by coming out of university and, you know, augmenting your course with some form of professional courses here and there, picking up some qualifications here and there, you can augment that which looks lacking and your life can change. But the moment you make a wrong choice as to marriage, it is very difficult to move on. It's very fatal when you make a wrong choice for marriage. Having a right marriage starts from choosing a right spouse. Put that down. Having a right marriage starts from choosing a right spouse. If you're going to have a right marriage, it will start from choosing the right spouse. Marriage is God's design. Family is God's institution. God planned marriage. Marriage was God's idea. And having a correct and a proper marriage starts from the spouse that you choose. Let me make it more contemporary. Starts from the girlfriend that you choose or the boyfriend that you choose. How your marriage will look like will depend on the choice of the partner that you have. Marriage, like I said, and family is God's idea. It's the first institution. The first man that God created as a husband and a father. You see, that's why family is the core, is the basis. If education was the basis, God would have created Adam as a principal. If government was the solution to the ills of our society and the core, God would have created Adam as a politician. Are you following my point? Are you following my point? If church is the solution, or church is God's core, God would have created Adam as a pastor. But Adam wasn't a pastor. Adam was a husband. Because it starts from the family. Like I say all the time, family is God's plan A. It was because family failed that church came. And even in creating the church, God still made sure the church has a similitude of family. And so we call it the church family. Because God is a family man, family God. And so in comparing Christ with the church, he keeps using the illustration of a husband and a wife all the time. Ephesians 5, all the time. It says the husband should love his wife like Christ loves the church. It says the wife should therefore be subject to her husband, like the church is subject to Christ. So it says husband should love their wife. And it says the wife should be subject to the husband. And it says the husband is the head of the wife like Christ is the head of the church. So it doesn't say that man is the head of woman. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It says that the wife and the husband is the head of the wife. He didn't say that men are not the head of women. Are you following my point? The husband is the head of his wife. The husband is the head of his wife. Men are not the head of women. It's very important for you to understand that. So you don't go about with that masculinist chauvinism that I'm a man. If you don't have a wife, open the WhatsApp group so you can be the head of the WhatsApp group. You see that? He said, be subject to your husband. He keeps comparing the husband to the wife. Do more, give me Ephesians 5, verse 31. Ephesians 5, verse 31. Ephesians 5, verse 31. King James, what does it say? For this cause. So the Bible says a man would leave his father, yes? So the Bible says he leaves. That's the first thing I want to point out. The man leaves. People that want to get married or be joined to each other must leave their past, must leave their parents. Most of the marriages today facing critical situations are being negatively influenced by parents. I know marriages that I know that this marriage would have worked if not for the mother-in-law or the father-in-law or for the in-laws or of what kind. And so you have husbands who don't know how to protect their wives from the influence of their mother-in-law. The Bible says a man should leave. The moment you get married, your wife is more important than your mother. Your mother does not come first. Are you listening to me? Your mother, are you following me? Your mother, by scripture, does not come first in your life. your wife is. You should protect your wife. That was one of the reasons why God did not give Adam a mother. So that you know that from the beginning, it is you and your wife. It is your job to protect your wife from the menace of your siblings. It is your job to protect your wife from the naughtiness of your mommy. It is your job. It is your job. Somebody's shaking his head. It is your job. It is your job to defend your wife. Let them call you woman rapper. It is your job to protect your wife. The greatest gift you can give your children is to love their mother. Let them see you love their mother like that. You know, when I was doing my cult bar, Yoruba people are very, very funny. You know, my tribe, particularly our women, there's a place where they vowed that they must suffer their children's wives. I don't know whether this is WhatsApp group where they are. Most of them are like that. So when I was doing my call to bar, let me tell you the story. I came in Abuja, I was going to do my call to bar. My wife now was my fiance then. My mom was dead. So the person was standing as my mom, which is my auntie, my mom's immediate younger sister, was coming into Abuja. And my wife hosted her in their house because we were going to be attending my call to bar the next day. So, but when she came, she said she wanted to go and buy gold in Wuse Market. So my wife had to go with her everywhere. My wife too was trying to be a very good wife. You know, so she even though it was so stressful, she couldn't complain. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, this is so stressful, but you don't want to talk. You have not even married him. Before they say, you cannot marry my son. You know, you just want to behave. You just want to behave yourself. And it is true. Let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you. If you are going out or you are courting, your job for each other. Listen to me, this is wisdom. Two of you should tell each other the naughty people among your family. When you come to our house, this one, just prostrate for him. That one, just give him bread. This one, just give him chin chin. That one, just... So two of you tell yourself, because it's not every time. It's not every time. I'm not good every time. But when you go and sleep in your in-laws house, you wake up by 5. Even though you normally wake up by 11. See that? So even me, if I know you, I quickly call you, wake up. Because I love you. See that? It's my job not to expose you. You see that? So she came. And my wife was in the market with her, doing all that, all day. She didn't even cook for her father. So when they came back in the night, she was already stressed out and worn out because they were spending all the day picking gold, checking gold and all that. So I made up my mind I was going to stay in her house that night because she still wanted to cook for my call to bar the next day. So I joined her in the kitchen and I was cooking with her in the kitchen. And my auntie called me. You see that? Called me. Now what kind of man are you going to be? See, I've not even married this girl. You're already staying in the kitchen with her. I said, you came all the way from Lagos. You didn't even care what we're going to eat tomorrow. This girl has been with you all day, picking stuff in Wuse Market. Did you come for my call to bar or you came to buy gold? If you are not going to join her in the kitchen, I'm going to stay in the kitchen all night with her. I'm going to cook that stuff together. She started grumbling and mumbling. I didn't care. Stayed all night cooking. She was cooking for my call to bar. My own auntie that should have taken the responsibility folded her legs and slept off all night because they have seen a slave. My auntie told me, women fighting for women, Abby. My auntie told me that I want you to marry a slave. He said, why do you put all your eggs in a basket? My auntie told me that. My auntie is a lady. She was telling me about somebody else's daughter. That why do you put all your eggs in it? You're supposed to have a girlfriend in Unilag, have a girlfriend in Lasso, have a girlfriend in UI. Then when you have adults, this is a woman advising me how to treat other women. He said, why did you put all your eggs in the basket? And I indeed had put all my eggs in the basket. I said to her, madam, if God is my basket, then I can put all my eggs there. And I'm sure it will be protected. All through my call to bar, I was just waiting for the call to bar to be over. You see, I was already fuming. I was already fuming because I knew if I didn't do something about these people are going to enslave my wife. After the Cotuba was over, we entered two different vehicles. I was in a different vehicle. My wife and my auntie was in another vehicle. Because I knew they could have been talking to her. You know, you don't expose your, don't expose. If you already know that you have nonsense people, don't expose your spouse to them. The moment I saw her, I said, did auntie give you anything? She said, she didn't give her anything. I called her instantly and I said my mind. On the express road, beggar. They went to the family house, they reported me to everybody. I sent my mind to everybody. Some people are still not talking to me till today because of that. And I don't give a bloody care. It is my job to protect my wife. The Bible says we leave and then cleave. Some men will not agree, but I'll tell you the truth. If you want to have peace in your home, you want to grow solid sons and daughters. Let them see you protect their mother. Let them see you protect their mother. Say, Pastor, if you know my kind of wife, you will not, you will say, why do you want to marry that kind of wife? Leave, he says. Then he says to cleave. Continue doing what to say next.
And the two shall be one flesh.
The Bible says, and these two shall be one. He calls them two. One and one. These two full human beings. These two whole, able to exist alone, independent two. One. Unmarried is not single in this context. In this context, single is ability to exist alone. Able to survive as one. Independent, whole, two, one shall become one. He didn't say half. Stop looking for a better half. You are not half. Stop looking for my other half. You are not a half. You are one. One people come together and they become one. If you cannot live without her, then don't marry her. You'll be a burden to her. If he is your sunshine, then that means you are going to put off his lights because you are darkness. One people. Don't marry someone that is your oxygen. Don't marry anyone that you cannot live without. One people. The problem that we have is that people who are not whole are coming together. The more single you are, the safer your marriage. The more single, the more able to exist alone. Are you following my point?
Yes, sir.
The more single you are, the safer your marriage. The more able to exist, survive alone, the more easier and safer it is for your marriage. God wants you to be happy on your own. Be joyful on your own. Don't find fulfillment in marriage. Be fulfilled on your own. If you marry for the wrong reasons, you definitely will marry the wrong person. If you marry because you are looking for someone to pour into you, you definitely will marry the wrong person. Be single, be one, be all, be full, be okay as a human being, able to survive even if never married. Are you following my point? You see, marriage for God, the purpose of marriage is that it would help you fulfill your purpose better. The Bible says two are better. The reason why the Bible says better is because better is better than good. But there is still good. One must be good. One that is not good deserves no better. Are you following my point? I must be good as one. He says two are better. Am I making sense this morning? It's because one as one is good. Now the Bible says there is a reward for their labor. If God brings two of you together who are single and full, then your unity and your union is better than you staying alone. The purpose of marriage is to make you fulfill your purpose better, not to find your purpose. It means that you are already on your own, able to exist, able to fulfill, able to do what God wants you to do. I say it humorously all the time that the Bible says one shall chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000. It's because one was already chasing 1,000 that two of them now are able to chase 10,000. If two people that are not chasing anything come together, two of them will be caught. Because it takes one to chase. Don't join yourself to anyone who is not chasing anything. Don't join yourself to anyone who has not found a vision for their life. Don't join yourself to a vehicle that is not moving. Don't drive behind a parked vehicle. Behold, someone said, tell me, neighbor. Behold. What? Our challenge, like I said, is that people that are not whole, people that are desperate for marriage, people that think that there's something that they are looking into marriage, they are already unqualified for marriage because they will be a burden. You will babysit them. Have you married someone in the UK? I'm sure you have not. You have not. What I'm saying is, he said the two of them shall be what? The two of them shall be. So the Bible was clear that the two of them become one. Someone say one. One and one becomes one. That's not possible in mathematics, but mathematics is possible. That one and one, because they were already one, God pulled one out of one, then brought them back together. The Bible says they become one. They don't become the same. So don't lose your uniqueness because you married. Don't lose your difference because you married. Don't lose your specialness. The Bible says two of them shall become one. It's unity. It's harmony, not the same. Don't lose your singleness because you got married. You didn't get what I just said. Don't lose who you are. Some people get married to someone and they lose everything. They lose everything. They used to be spontaneous, used to be life-loving, they used to be outspoken, they used to be out everything. They used to be wonderful people, but they got married. Bah! Everything goes. Because they go and say that, I don't like that, I don't like that, don't talk like that, don't move like that, don't go there like that. You have not even married them, you have lost all your friends. You are no longer, what is wrong with you? Say, I'm in love. So, nothing that you were doing with your life before makes any more sense. Because you found love. God created you unique. Don't lose that because you found love. He says two of them shall become one, not the same. That's why God is against same-sex marriage. Because they are same. Two men can never produce seed for God. Don't make an exit and entrance. Don't. This thing is not about doors. You see? It took you time, but you got it. It is an exit. It is not an entrance. God is not in support because he makes them say. Say. He called them to be one. I'm happy you got it. It took you time, but you got it. An entrance is an entrance. An exit is an exit. A choice of a spouse is a choice of the parent of your child. When you choose a spouse, you have chosen the parent of your child. You have chosen a model to your child. You see, if you pick a husband, you may possibly have children that will look like him. A choice of a spouse is a choice of a model. If you don't like something and you don't want to reproduce it, don't marry it. If you look at something that doesn't look like something that you want, don't marry it. You give back to what you married very clearly. You always do that. All right? Don't marry people with the hopes of changing them. You know this thing, we have overflogged it. We have said, everybody has said it. But I need to say it again, because people, even though they hear it, they don't hear it. Don't marry people. Marry what you see. Don't marry what you hope to see. Marry what that if this person never changes, because they may never change. Marry them knowing that you are able to live with this for the rest of your life. Don't marry hope. Marry what you see. What you see. Are you following my point? Don't marry someone. Don't start dating someone that is nowhere, that is wearing earrings. And I see a lot of guys do that. Some people come and say, I don't like my wife. I don't like my girlfriend. But there are people in your church now. You left your church. I don't want to mention the name of any church. And you went to a church where not only the women are wearing earrings, even the men are wearing earrings. You went to pick a sister there. You now want to off the earring. You get my point? She's wearing anklets. You said it's a Leviathan. Marine spirit. She's wearing wig. You said it's from the marine world. She was wearing all that. You saw her. And you saw it. And you went to pick her. And now you are struggling because you want to stop her. No. It's not even every Christian you can marry. Sure, you know that. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen Christians that anoint cockroach. I've seen Christians that everything is a demon. I have Christian friends that all their house are splattered with stains of anointing oil. Because everything has a demonic expression. And I don't think everything has a demonic expression. I have a problem with everybody who sees demon in everything. But, you know, there are Christians like that. So it's not even every Christian. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. It's not every Christian in this church like this. Are all children of God. But even in this church, it's not everybody you can marry. Choosing a spouse is as easy as ABC. I'm going to get that right to that now. Okay, so I'm putting this very clearly. How to choose right. Very simple. Very, very simple. If I see people that say they don't know how to choose a spouse, I'm always laughing. Now, what is there in choosing a spouse?
The pastor. You can be saying like that because you God.
No, it's a principle. Very simple. Choosing a spouse. Oh, simple down. Some of us is coming, that is doing like this. Your eyes is doing like this. You have one, you say, no, let me wait. And now a better one might come. So you already have one, you say, no, let me wait. I don't want to lose what is coming. So while you are waiting, somebody else came and picked this one. This one was 80 over 100. The next one you got was now 60. You say 60, God forbid. I'd rather go back to 80. Let me wait. Let the 60 pass. 80 is coming. Next one, 40. You say, luckily, God forbid. I cannot drop from 80 to 40 now. Okay, let me just manage 60. 60 that I was before. Wait, 40 pass. It's now 20. That's how you have not married Betty now. Let me finish. You were waiting. You were waiting. It is very easy. Say, Pastor, teach me. Say, Pastor, teach me. It's very easy. I asked my wife out. My first girlfriend, though. I didn't have a girlfriend before that. So it's not out of experience. So maybe I have experience. Zero experience. I asked my wife out for the first time in less than 2 weeks after we saw for the first time. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Times I saw her maybe this Monday. In next 2 Mondays, I have asked. And when I was asking her out, I didn't say, let's see how it goes. What if it does not go anywhere? Who said, let's see how it goes? Someone comes to me and say, you know, let's just see how it goes. I hate that thing. See how it goes? Or someone comes and say, you know, sure, you know you're my girlfriend, though. hope you know you're my girlfriend. When? In less than 2 weeks, I asked her out. I said, would you like to marry me? We're 400 level. 400 level. 400 level. My pastor called me, Pastor Bro Philip, that's impossible. You know what makes it worse? I just joined the church. I just joined the church. And I saw that sister. And so the people called me. The pastor called me. This is impossible. This is not right. Brother so and so sought the face of the Lord for 8 months before the Lord answered him. Sister so and so sought the face, has the Lord and sought the face of the Lord for 10 months. How can you say you know somebody with less than 2 weeks? I said, I don't know how the face of the Lord lost in their hands. That they are seeking the face of the Lord everywhere. I don't know how they lost it too. The Bible says, before they call, I will answer. Is that what the Bible says? Before they call, you see why they are yet speaking? I have answered. I am not, God is not thinking, you know, God is not thinking about it. God, is that my wife? God said, okay, wait. Let's watch her. You think God is doing that? The challenge is what I want to explain to you today. It's very easy. It's very easy. If you don't know what you want, you don't know what you need. You're not going to know it when you see it because you don't know what you need. I use Wuse Market as an example all the time. You go to Wuse Market, you enter through the gates. You don't know what you want. If you are going there, you want to buy a red bag. The moment you know, I want to buy a red bag, your eyes will pick every red. You see that? Every red you see, your eyes will pick it. If you enter a shop and they have red bags, then you have 10 red bags that you want to pick out of these red bags. Are you following my point? This is the one I want. You see, it doesn't take you time. You don't start praying. Father, is that the one? Is that the one? You see, because you already know what you want. You already know what you need. If you enter Wuse Market and you don't know what you want, my friends, Igbo brothers, they will sell you crutches. They will call you, Emmanuel, you need these crutches. You will take it home. People say, why did you buy crutches? Say, they say, I go need them. Why did you buy crutches? Because you don't know what you need. It's very easy. In less than 2 weeks, we are married 11 years. My pastor said, how can you do that? What did God say? I said, God did not say anything. Other people saw vision. I said, no, I already have a vision. You see, I don't see a vision for. I had a vision. I'm looking for a helper. I don't need to see a vision for. Simple as ABC. As a woman, you already know your capacity. You know whose vision you are sent to help. You know whose vision is below your potential. You already know that it's not going to save me at the end. I cannot be driving a V12 double turbo engine behind a 4-plug Volkswagen. Ow! And I'm supposed to submit to you? Ah! Bah! You already know. Are you following my point? Because that's why people now cheat. Intellectual compatibility zero. You cannot even talk with your husband. You can't share anything. Zero. He doesn't know more than food. He doesn't know more than snacks. He doesn't know more than sleep. And let's just make ends meet. We are talking about visions. We are thinking about continents. He's thinking about being a chief in his local village. You can't merge. I call it destiny mismatch. You don't need a vision for that. You already know. You already know. You know what fits you, don't you? You go to the market, you know what shirt fits you. And yet you are wearing oversized agbada as a husband. Or small size. You have to force yourself into it. And you know better. Number one, the first choice in choosing right is to know God. Adam and Eve knew God before they met each other. The first person Adam saw when he opened his eyes was God. He saw God. The first person Eve saw when she opened her eyes was God. It was God that brought Eve to Adam. Eve didn't have to start dragging Adam to God. Eve didn't have to introduce God to Adam. Adam didn't have to introduce God to Eve. Both of them already knew God. Are you following my point? It's so critical. I couldn't have married somebody that is not a worker in church. I can't even fall in love with you if I'm not a worker. I'm a die-hard worker in the house of God. How will I fall in love with someone that is not serving? Or someone that thinks that, you know, all this church stuff. I don't just church stuff. That is church stuff. There's no way. We can't jail. We can't. I met my wife in choir auditioning. While we were auditioning to serve. I am so addicted to service. I went to Port Harcourt for my court attachment in Port Harcourt. And I had just 1 month to spend in Port Harcourt. And I went to the church. I said I must join the team. They said, no, I have to do membership class. I have just 1 month to spend here. I don't have this kind of time. Is there any expedited program? They said, no. I said, no. There can't be any month in heaven that there will not be a register for my attendance for service that Philip was serving in social place. If you people don't give me work, I'll be picking paper in this church. God must see me serving. I can't wait for membership class for 1 month. So I will not finish 1 month membership class and be going back. You must know God. Number one, God gave Adam his presence. He lived in Eden. He gave him work. Somebody say work before woman. Say work before woman. Say if you don't have work, you don't need woman. Say if you don't have work, you don't need woman. So God gave Adam his presence. That was Eden. Eden is not a place. It's an atmosphere. Are you following me? It's an environment. Adam knew God. Eve knew God. Number two, my time is almost up, so I'm rushing, is that you know yourself. You have to know yourself. Identify yourself. Come to terms with who you are, who God made you, your potentials, your gifts, your temperament. Know who you are. Know who you can blend with. You'll be so shocked how ignorant a lot of people are about themselves. Some people don't even know who they are. They only know what people think they are. They are people's opinion about them. Know yourself. If you don't know yourself, you won't even be able to find a wife or a husband that fits you. You must know your size. If you go to the market, you're buying a clothes. Don't you know your size? You know your size. I can ask someone to buy me a suit from the UK. I know my size in UK. I know my size in the US. You see that? I know that UK size is made from US size. I can say, give me 48 suit or give me 50 suit. Is it 50 slim? So I already know myself. It will decide on what I am asking for. If you are looking for a job, they will ask you, what did you study? You see, you have to know what you qualify for, who you are, to be able to know if they can get you something that fits that thing. Are you following my point? Number three is to know your purpose. Know why you are here. It's very critical. As a single person, you must find out why you are here. Why did God send you here? I knew from university days that I was going to do ministry. I knew, like the back of my hand. It's so important. In choosing right, you must know your assignment. Why are you here? Not just men, even women. Why are you here? Women have purpose too. Yes. Why are you here? Know your purpose. In knowing your purpose, you will know what you need in it. I was on campus that day. The Lord spoke to me. He said, son, I said, yes, Lord. He said, if you are going to the bathroom, what would you take with you? I said, we'll go to the bathroom. I'm going to the bathroom. I will take with me a bucket of water and a bowl. You see, I was on campus. There's no shower. The Lord talks to us at our level. You get my point? He knows your level. Stop forming for the Lord. He knows your level. So I said, Lord, I'll go there with a bucket of water and a bowl. Listen to me. This argument or this discussion is not about a bucket of water. And the bowl. The Lord says, wow, why not go with laptop? I said, why do you say that, Lord? He said, because laptop is more expensive. Laptop is more sophisticated. Anywhere you go with laptop, people will respect you. I said, but Lord, I will not be needing a laptop in the bathroom. God said, oh, okay. If you are going to church, what do you take with you? I said, I go to church with my Bible and my notepad. God said, why don't you go with a bucket of water? At least you just went to a bucket of water to the bathroom. I said, that's bathroom now. This is church. I go to church with my Bible. God says, so it is where you are going that determines what you take with you. If you don't know where you are going, you will not know what you will be doing there. You will not know what you need. If you don't know where you are going, you have no right to take someone else with you. It is your purpose that will determine what fits in it. It's so simple that you have found out. Now, a laptop is not bad. Is a laptop bad? Answer me, church. You are not answering me very well. Is a laptop bad? A laptop is a good thing, but a laptop is not what you need in the bathroom. That is why nobody is bad in themselves. Listen to me. Nobody is bad. We are different. We are not better than each other. In this church, nobody is bad. What you are fighting with your girlfriend, fighting with your boyfriend, fighting. There's someone else who is going to get attracted to that person for that same purpose. Don't marry what you don't like. Don't force it. If it's not jelly, leave it. Are you following my point? Don't marry what you don't like. If you don't like it, leave it. The Holy Ghost does not force anyone to marry anybody. If you don't like it, what did I say? If you don't like it, leave it. So a laptop is good. But a laptop is not what you need based on where you are going. There's someone else who is a tech bro. Who's going to need a laptop? Now, there's a lady there who has eyelashes like this. When I went to Lagos, one wedding in Lagos. That girl's eyelashes was like this. I said, sister, if you blink too fast, you may fly. I'm telling you, you may fly. Like this. Eyelashes like this. Acrylic fingers. All like that. Talons like an eaglet. Makeup like disguise. I said, this is, are you trying to disguise? Now, that woman is not bad. If I went to showbiz or entertainment, or I'm in that line of business, then that kind of wife will fit my, are you following my point? My kind of business is there with somebody who is in that line. Who needs that kind of wife? It is where I am going. Nobody's bad. If you and your boyfriend are fighting, you're not jelly, leave him alone. There's someone, look, there's someone that is short like this. That you think is too short. That somebody will fall in love with that person because of that height. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. Don't force it. Don't force it. And I'm going to talk about, my time has gone. I want to talk about function and design. For those of you that like big breasts. You see, I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Who created big breasts? So I'm going to come there in just a moment now. See, Lord has taken his barrel. Know your assignment. Know what you need. It's important for you to know what you need. When you know, that's number three. Number three is know your purpose. Number four is know what you need. So that it's a sequel to that. When you know your purpose, you will know what you need. You set your standards based on what your assignment is. If you look at Genesis chapter 2. Help me do more. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read the very first marriage in the world, which was the marriage of Eve and Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Okay? Help me do more. Can we go very fast? And the Lord said, please, everyone, please, do you have your Bibles with you? So look at your Bible. This is the first marriage ever. What happened? And the Lord said, Dumo's mic is not working. Dumo's mic is not working. All right? And the Lord said, so God said it's not good that man should be what? God said that it's not good that man should be alone. So what happened? So do you know what we can do, Dumo? Can you go to NLT for that? Please, media, give us sound on Dumo's mic. Give me NLT for that very fast. My time is going.
What God said?
Yes.
It is not good for the man to be alone.
Yes.
I will make a helper who is just right for him.
So God said, follow the sequel. It's not good for a man to be. That's NLT, Abi. He said, I will make a what?
Helper.
Can you follow me, church? God said what? God said, I will go and make a helper for this guy. Because it's not good for this guy. So what did God do?
So the Lord God formed from the ground.
The Lord God formed from the ground.
All the wild animals.
Now, when the Bible says so, what's the meaning of so? Because this man is alone, and it's not good for him to be alone, I will make him a helper. In making me a helper, the Lord went to do what? Formed wild animals. Help me do more. What does it say next?
And all the birds of the sky.
All the birds of the sky.
He brought them to the man.
He brought them to the man
to see what he would call them.
So God now brought monkey. Bobby is looking for helper for Adam, but he brought monkey to see if Adam will see a helper in this monkey. Everybody has been brought by the Lord, including that Amubu brother. The Lord has brought him to you to see what you will call him. What happened? Help me, Dumo.
To see what he will call them.
Yes.
And the man chose a name for each one.
Yes.
He gave names to all the livestock.
Yes.
All the birds of the sky.
Yes.
And all the wild animals.
Yes.
But there was no helper just right.
So
for
when
him.
The Bible says, but, for those that understand English a little bit, when the Bible says, but, does that in any way mean that they were looking for a possibility that they could have been a helper among those animals? Is it possible like that? So the Bible says, but there was no helper, just right for him. What does it say next?
So the Lord God caused the man
to
fall.
Again, because there was no helper just right for him, Adam refused all those animals. That's why you can never tell me that God forced you to marry anybody. You can never marry out of prophecy. Write it down. There is no such thing in Bible days, in prophetic days, that someone married because God pointed that this is your wife that you must marry. People that say this is the wife that you must marry, if God actually combined people in heaven, that this is your husband, this is your wife, people that have bought their children, the husband that should have married that wife, and they have already, the mother have already flushed out the boy, who will that get married? Or children that die out of miscarriage, if it's a logical reasoning or conclusion that God joins people from heaven, and now people are flushing out their children, the people that God joined to them, who will they marry? See, Adam refused every animal that God brought. The Bible says God saw, and God saw. God went and caused him to fall. What is it? Help me do more.
So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep.
Yes.
While the man slept,
yes.
The Lord God took out one of the man's ribs,
yes.
And closed up the opening.
Yes.
Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib,
yes.
And he brought her to the man.
Yes.
At last.
So
man,
when Adam said, at last, what does at last mean? Does it mean that he was looking for a helper among those other animals? That's what it means. At last. Someone say at last. Your at last is coming in the name of Jesus. You don't have to marry that goat. You don't have to marry that donkey. You don't have to. If she's not fitting it, don't worry. God is not done working. You don't have to marry that pig, and say, husband, I finished. Husband, I finished. Let's make do with this pig. No. At last. What does he help me do more?
The man exclaimed.
The man exclaimed.
This one is born from
this
my bone.
This one. This one is bone from my bone. Yes?
And flesh from my flesh.
Flesh from my flesh. Yes?
She will be called woman.
Woman!
Because she was taken from
she
man.
She was taken. Who said all those things? In that place, did you see anything that God said? So people that say, God said, you are my husband. Can you see that God has never said anything to anybody? You have used bread to pack your beans. God said what? What did God say in that place? You know, Bible is by precedence. The principle of first mention. When God lays a foundation for something, it decides how things will be after that. In the first marriage, God did not say anything. As at what time did God start saying things? When? Look at Genesis. Look at that scripture. Genesis chapter 24, verse 9. Genesis chapter 24.
Verse 9.
Yes,
NLT or KJV?
Give me KJV.
Genesis 24, verse 9.
And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master.
Yes.
And swore to him concerning that matter.
Yes.
And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master.
Yes.
And departed.
Yes.
For all the goods of his master were in his hand.
Yes.
And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor.
Yes.
And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the
yes.
time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water.
Yes.
And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham,
yes.
I pray thee, send me good speed this day and
yes.
shew kindness unto my master Abraham.
Yes.
Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the yes. daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water.
Yes.
And let it come to pass that
yes.
the damsel to whom I shall say,
yes.
let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, I will give thy camels drink also.
Yes.
Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant
so,
Isaac.
Abraham said, go and find a wife for my son. Go to my father's house. So my father's house is illustrative of the church today. Are you following my point? Go to my father's house. Don't go outside. Don't say, he's an unbeliever, but he's nice. Every unbeliever is a child of the devil. Every unbeliever is a child of the devil. You have nice children of the devil, but they are children of the devil. They are the same level with Naira Marley. Every child of the devil is a child of the devil. For those of you cursing Naira Marley, if you want to curse him fool. Stop saying, you know, go better for Naira. Our Naira is falling down. Call him fool. Call him, put the Marley so that our Naira can be revived. There's too much curse on Naira. You know, go better for Naira. Please, make it clear. Don't confuse the spirits. All right, that's just a lighter note. Go to my father's house. So when he got to the father's house, he said, the woman that comes and give water to all these camels. So you see, he now puts a prerequisite by himself based on the assignment of Isaac. I have come to the house of God, yet I cannot marry anybody. There are bad, bad people in the church. There are people in the church that are bad, bad people. They fool here. Now, you don't come to the church and marry because you found a person. Don't marry somebody because the person showed you his picture with me. I snap with strangers, complete strangers. Don't let anybody show you any picture. Don't say because you saw someone with me, you married the person. The person may have come for deliverance. You don't know what the person came for. You don't know why the person is. Don't say you met him in my office. If you meet, ask me why is he in my office, he may have a demon. So don't say because you see, in the house of God, you have to be very careful. When you come, you will not have your own standard. That the person I want to marry. Because Isaac was going to be a patriarch. He would be having guests. But someone that is patient, hospitable, and, you know, able to attend to strangers and to visitors in a very patient manner. And so he put that out. It is your job to know the requirements needed for your destiny. It is not mine. And the Bible says, because of our time, we can't read it through. That lady came. Her name is Rebecca. She came and she fed the animals of the water. And the moment he did that, what did that man do? Stood up and went with her and said, my master's son has found a wife. He stood up immediately when he found the woman. The problem with a lot of our men is that when a sister has come to give their camel water, they are waiting for another one that will soon come. So they wait there from morning to evening. Now, 5 women have given their camels water. They now have 5 pitchers they are carrying to Shiloh. Why did you stay so long at the well? Now, there are 5 women. This one is nice. This one is intelligent. This one can cook. This one can do that one. Now, you have 6 people and you are saying, okay, which one do I do? You put yourself in that situation. When you find the water, when you find your wife, you leave the well. Leave the well for other bachelors who are looking for a wife. All right? So he knew what his purpose was and he was able to create a standard for it. It's very simple. The last one, because of my time, is to understand the place of function and design. And I will end with this. Function and design. Does God have a problem with me wanting a particular kind of man or wanting a particular kind of woman? Does God have a problem with me desiring a tall, dark, and handsome man? Does God have a problem with me loving a lady who has this kind of, you know, stuff or that stuff? So here's what I want to talk about now.
Where does my desire in this come? Because we have been taught that God hates everything we like. There's somewhere in our mind, a religious mindset, that the moment you like something, God is against that. Somewhere we are taught that anything that your heart desires, automatically the spirit is against it. Because the spirit losses against the flesh losses against the spirit, you know. And so we have been taught, so no matter how much you like something, hey, I cannot like this. And the problem with, listen to me, the problem with marrying who you don't like, the problem with marrying contents and living container, and marrying a container that doesn't look like the container you want, but has the content. The problem of emphasizing content and de-emphasizing container is that Satan knows your desired container. Satan is a very strong observer. See, he knows what you like. So when you are finished marrying now, in your office, that container and the contents together will come. And you have to keep dealing with that temptation because you underemphasized your desire. Is God against what you like? Are you listening to me this morning? I married what I like. There is a container that has the content you are looking for. Now, at the same time, I don't want to overemphasize container because the Bible spoke about appearance being vain, and it's true. That if you have this, there are things that you can sacrifice for the other. If you are making a choice, Pastor, I like this, I like that, but this person has this. This is what you need for your destiny. You will not know because of the lack of this, particularly when it can be worked on. People can learn how to talk. People can learn how to walk. You see, you don't let 80% go because the 20% could not talk well. Because the guy has an accent. He has an H factor. You see that? And even though he has an H factor, he's carrying the seed for your destiny. So you abandon an H factor. You abandon an H factor that is destined for someone who has accent but empty. Are you following my point? So in making this choice, you must be very, very intelligent. You must know what is most important in your life. I am telling you as practically as I can. What is the most important thing to you in your life? What is the most important thing? So where does function and design come? The journey is as important as the destination. Don't journey with someone that you don't want just because both of you are heading the same destination. Am I making any sense this morning? Okay, so both of us are going to Lagos, but I'm sitting beside someone with a terrible mouth odor. I can tell the driver that local Jawa. I want to calm down. Because even though you are both going to the same destination, the design of the person can make the journey unbearable for you. Don't de-emphasize the place of what you are attracted to. Although, and even true, that content will always take the principal place. So let's assume that I'm going to the market to buy a red shirt. Red shirt. Abi? Red shirt. Shirt is function. Red is design. Are you following my point now? Does that make sense? I don't want to make it more. Can I maybe explain better? I like this kind of person. He has been this, but this is function. I need this person in my life, and this person should have these qualities. I need this kind of guy in my life. This is why I can kind of change my life. But you will not find a perfect person. When I say you will not find a perfect person, I don't mean someone that is addicted to crack. I mean that you will not find someone that, when you are coming to someone's life, there will only be something you need to add to the person's life. Maybe the person doesn't know how to budget their time, budget their energy. The person is not organized, and you are a very administrative person who can organize things. So you always have something to add to the person's life. Not that the person is a womanizer. It's not that kind of imperfection I'm talking. Are you following my point? So don't miss my point. If I say so, everybody is perfect, it doesn't mean that you're not going to marry someone that their imperfection is a sin. It's a sin. I'm not talking about sin. I said perfect, not sin. All right? So I need a red shirt. So I go to the market, and I cannot find a red shirt. even though I need a red shirt. So I begin to look for a color that is close to red, but that is a shirt. So I find a maroon shirt. No, see, it's not red, but it's maroon. And it can fit in, almost blending to red. So I pick it. I don't go and pick a red shoe and go about shirtless just because I have put color over function. Am I making sense to you? Clap now. You can clap. Don't worry. Feel free. When you are making a choice, you have, when we were in secondary school, they taught us scale of preference. They teach scale of preference in economics. So you have a scale of preference. What are the things I put? This thing I'm telling you is as simple as ABC. Some of you have never, since we're in primary school, you have never crossed on a fair girl before. You already know that this is your weak point. If you see a dagger, you are in trouble. Brownie, you are in trouble. You already know. Now you are dealing with that situation in your life. You know that the best, you are always attracted. This is the kind of person you are attracted to. This kind of personality you are attracted to. Now, God has never put that you must marry this person. There's no such thing that God says you must marry this person. Even though God says you must marry this kind of persons. So there's a kind of person that God says you must marry. But doesn't say you must marry this person. God could have brought another thing to Adam if he didn't find a helper in Eve. God is not done. God is not exhausted. And God is not tired. But the challenge is that some of us are not wise enough to be able to recognize one when we see it. Because we don't even know what we need. If I ask an average person now, where are you going in your life? What will you need? And there are many of them passing by you. You say, it's just my friend. It's just my friend. And you guys jail? You talk all the time? You talk all the time. I mean, you talk all the time. I don't understand what you are doing. What do people do in marriage? A marriage is a long stretch of conversations. People don't have sex all the time in marriage. I'm telling the truth. People talk, a lot of talk. That's what happens in marriage. And so if you can talk to someone, you can connect intellectually with someone, you can connect and there's an agreement. The Bible says two cannot work together except they be agreed. It is here, except God says so. It didn't say that. And that's why there's no such as a prophetic marriage. Two cannot work except agreement is the key. There must be an agreement in your purpose to be able to align and marry. If you guys don't agree, you cannot marry. You guys are always arguing over everything. Always argue. You never agree. That means you know what? When we marry, it will get better. It will not get better. When you marry, it will be worse. Because now it's living in your space. Before you can walk away, you can block your phone. But now you're living together. You don't agree on color. What's this thing? No, he says gray. It's blue. He said, you are always fighting on everything. You can't marry that person. But you see someone, you say, I sit in this church. I see you and the guy. You're always talking. Say, what's that person? He's just a friend. I just like him as a person. No, like him as a lion. So who are you going to get married to? That's God parading Eve before you. And you're looking. It's not difficult. You see, if you are not ready, let's know you are not ready. And it's okay not to be ready. But if you are ready, don't make it look as if a choice is very difficult to make. It's not. It's not. I'm telling you the truth. I chose my wife in less than 2 weeks of meeting her for the first time. I already knew. I didn't have to. You see, the servant of Abraham didn't have to pray. Father, is she the one? Is she the one? Is she? No. The moment the lady gave her water, he picked up straight and said, you are the wife I've been looking for. You are the wife. And if you are a woman here, like I said, you already have a couple. You already know the potential that you have. You know what you can offer. You know what a woman nurtures, cultivates, and bears. You already know. You see this man, his vision aligns. You tally, you like. When he's talking about it, there's an energy running in your spine. When you hear him talk about what he wants to do, that means there's a helper calling out from your inside. But you just like him as a friend. Easy. God, there's a spirit of God on your inside. My pastor said, Philip, did you hear anything? I said, no. You told this girl that she's your wife. Did God say that to you? I said, no. God didn't say that. He said, and you're mine now. I said, because the Bible says two can't work together. Except they agree. He didn't say, except God says so. So there's a green light in my spirit. You see that? As a child of God, you should be able to know when God is speaking to you in your spirit. That God says, go ahead. So God says, you may go. Traffic light. You know traffic light, Abby?
It's traffic light has green,
has red. When the green comes on, what does green say? Green say, you may go. It's not go by force. You see, if you don't go at the green light, you have not committed a crime. If you go at the red light, you have committed a crime. Are you following my point? If the green light comes on green, if you park and refuse to go, road safety cannot arrest you. Because you have not committed the crime, even when you refuse to go. So the green light says you may go, not you must go. And that green light in your spirit says you may go. But the red light says stop, don't go. So when you meet someone, God says stop, you don't go. But this one, I don't want. I don't want. It's a pig, I don't want. It's a donkey, I don't want. It's a goat, I don't want. You have that liberty in God to say that. And God will bring another one. God will bring another one. God will bring another one. But don't paint a picture. It's simple. That's how I got married. I saw no vision. I had no voice. And I've been married for 11 years. My friends that saw vision on campus, their relationship did not last campus. The sister was coming down with a rope from heaven. Their relationship did not last 6 months. 6 months. Because it is not with vision that the house is built. It is with wisdom. Even a marriage that came by prophecy needs wisdom to survive. And if two people will agree, two people agreeing to submit one to another. When two people agree, there's no Jupiter, no devil that can break them. If you and your girlfriend today say, we are not going to have issues in this relationship again. Do you know that God cannot stop you? Do you know that God cannot stop you? God cannot stop you. When people came together to build a tower of Babel against the will of God, the Bible says, God, are you following my point? God came down. The Bible says, God came and saw what the king of God had created. And God went back and said, these people, nothing can be restrained from them from what they have chosen to do. You see, what do? They scatter. So it is disagreement that scatter houses. It is disagreement because it's agreement that makes things build, makes things work. It's not prophecy. I know people that married by prophecy. People that they did not like. And somebody prophesied, that's your husband. And they are married and they are suffering terribly in those marriages. Because God doesn't do that. I've shown you scripture. If anybody come to you and say, God, say your husband, you conk the person straight. You auction your 500. You target. You sabotage. Embezzle their mouth. No, you won't let them know. You just auction on one side. God told you that what? If you like me, tell him you like me. Can you follow my point? Did I bless you this morning? Rise on your feet. I want to just bless the Lord for his word. Thank you for what he has done for us this evening, this morning. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Your word has come to us. We receive wisdom from it. We draw wisdom from it.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.